I haven't started yet and the baby's already crying. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you all this evening, and what a blessing to be here. Just so I make you feel more at home, g'day, y'all. Trying to work on the y'all, but I can't quite get it. But what a blessing it is to be here, and so great to catch up with people that we haven't seen for a long time. And good to see the newborn babies in the congregation, and the blessings that you have here. What a joy it is to be able to be here tonight and share with you the work that's going on in New Zealand. And I'm hoping that by the end of the presentation this evening that you will be enticed to come down and visit us in New Zealand. And we've got room to house you. We'll look after you. Just don't all come at once, or we might be in trouble. The work that we do in New Zealand is supported by you, brethren. And thank you, Brother Jimmy, for that introduction and the mention of us being one of your mission workers. And we feel very honoured and very grateful to you. Being with us through the years and blessed us abundantly. You're such good brethren to us, and we really do thank you. I'd also like to say thank you to my wife, Michelle. Michelle is a very important part, of course, of my life and the work in New Zealand. It's a lot easier when you have a good, faithful woman by your side in the work that you do. And Michelle is a direct encouragement to me, and I know that she is to many in the work in New Zealand. New Zealand mission work. Michelle and I are Australians, as you know. We moved to New Zealand in 2014, and we've been there now 3 years, and the work's going really well in the island. Now, in case you want to come and see New Zealand, I want to show you a couple of pictures to whet your appetite, so to speak. There we go. New Zealand is home of the Maori, or the Maori people. They are the natives of New Zealand. And if you notice on the screen, you'll see that the Maori culture includes facial tattooing, as well as full body tattooing. But facial tattooing is still prevalent today, not amongst all, but by some who want to maintain the culture. So when you come to New Zealand, you're going to see this from time to time. You notice the women folk of the Maori people, they normally tattoo their chin with something like a tongue or blood or something else coming out of the mouth as part of the culture. But the Maori people are lovely. They're beautiful people, very welcoming, very friendly. And unlike Australia, we see a lot of Maori people, native people, in the Lord's body, in the church. And this is really something great to see. We've got some in the congregation where we are, and they are spread throughout the congregations in New Zealand. In Australia, I only ever remember one native Australian being baptized, and that was in Queensland while we were there. I don't recall any others. New Plymouth, we are in the city of New Plymouth. It's on the North Island, on the west coast, about midway on the North Island. And this is an overview of the city of New Plymouth. Down the front of the city, we have this concrete walkway that goes about 10 miles along the beautiful coast of New Plymouth. And you can come along, walk along that coast, hear the waves crashing, feel the beautiful moist air, no humidity in New Zealand, very, very cool temperatures, even in the summer. So if you want to escape the harshness of your winter, you can come over to our summer, which is the opposite time of year for you. At the back of the city is this prominent feature, Mount Taranaki, or Mount Egmont. It's an active volcano, and when we left home on the 1st of August, there was snow on the mountain. So As I said, we are the opposite weather-wise to you. This feature here is known as the wind wand. And the wind wand is a structure that has got a big ball on the top of this fibrocarbon pole that goes high up into the air. And whatever way the wind's blowing, this wind wand will bend. And it bends this way, and it bends that way, and it bent that way, and then suddenly it bent that way, and the ball flew off the top. And it landed on a passing vehicle. But they fixed that now, so don't be afraid. When you come, that won't happen. But just the other day, this was what happened. The wind wand got struck with lightning. And this was only a matter of days ago. And so that would have been spectacular to see. We have beautiful natural gardens around the city of New Plymouth. This is Pukekura Park, a bushland that was donated to the council. And you can go there and you feel like you're out in the middle of a forest, even when you're in the middle of the city. This is the beach coastline of New Zealand. And all of the beaches in New Zealand are black sand, unlike Hawaii or California or Australia, where we have the beautiful white sand. All the beaches in New Zealand are black sand. Something's happened there. Just there we go. Oh. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. So this is the not quite back far enough. Back a little bit further. Sorry. I probably pressed that button you told me not to press. And can we go back a little bit further there? I'll stop pressing it. There we go. Is it going back? No. Oh, there we go. Okay, so the black beaches, we were there. The Whale Bridge is a skeletal-like structured bridge. They call it the Whale Bridge because of the appearance. Looks a bit like a whale skeleton. But you notice if you take a photograph at the right end, you can get Mount Taranaki in the background. That's quite a beautiful feature. And no matter where you go in New Zealand, you are going to see beautiful scenery. You don't mind getting lost because everywhere is beautiful. It's also known as Middle Earth. Those who know of the Lord of the Rings and the filming by Peter Jackson, there's the filming that was done on the South Island and also on the North Island. On the North Island, we have Hobbiton, and this is not far from where we live. In fact, this is only about an hour or so drive from our home, and you can go there and see the farmland still looking like a movie set, just as it was for the movie. They've maintained it, and you can go and spend the day there. And that's my family, some of our family, on our daughter's 21st birthday. She wanted to go to Hobbiton, so we dressed up and we went along for the day and had a really great time. New Zealand's home of 27 million sheep and 5 million dairy cows. Also, we have a grass-fed beef, really prime meats there. And so farming is one of the major industries in New Zealand. This bird here is the native hen of New Zealand, known as the pukeko. Pukeko. So you see these along the roadside and out in the bush. I actually love them. They're a fascinating looking bird. And of course, if you are interested in taking photographs, or maybe you're a hunter, then the big red stags are quite an attraction in New Zealand. And so maybe that's something that will encourage you to come down and spend time with us. And here's a few of the plants that we have in New Zealand. On the left of the screen, you'll see what my wife and I were calling the Dr. Zeus tree. These are the cabbage tree of New Zealand. And on the right side of the screen, the pungas, or the pongas, as the natives call them. They're like a fern that grows on a long trunk. And what the local landscapers do is they cut down these pungas, they take the fern off the top, and they build retaining walls out of them. Quite a normal feature you see in New Zealand. And that fern in the middle of the screen, that's the punga fern unrolling, that's almost a national symbol. If you come to New Zealand, you'll see this on T-shirts and on souvenirs that you can buy. And of course, the All Blacks rugby team. Here, the All Blacks are performing their pre-match ritual of the haka. The haka is an intimidation ritual that the Maori warriors would do before they went into battle. And here they are doing it on the football field. So if you want a treat, go and Google the All Blacks doing the haka, and you can see exactly what I'm talking about. We live on the North Island, where the arrow's pointing, in the city of New Plymouth. And the beautiful thing about New Zealand is that there are no snakes. You won't find one snake on the island of New Zealand. Coming from Australia, where we had the 10 deadliest, it's really a treat to walk through the grass and not worry about the Joe Blakes or the snakes that you might step on. Also, in New Zealand, you'll see no spiders that'll kill you like Australia has. And so please don't be afraid of coming to New Zealand, because there are no predators there. No predators apart from man, and nothing to be afraid of in the wilderness. What we do have in New Zealand, though, is volcanoes. Those red triangles there on the North Island are all active volcanoes. And so we've traded the snakes and the spiders for the volcanoes and, of course, the earthquakes. New Zealand's part of the Ring of Fire that runs around the Pacific Islands up to California and down through New Zealand. And you may have heard Christchurch. Christchurch had the big earthquake not that long ago that really did a lot of damage. So it is a moving island. New Zealand's so beautiful. It's a great place to visit. It's a safe place to be. The people are friendly, but there's a problem. And it's a sin problem. The same as the sin problem that you have here in the United States. In Romans 3 and verse 23, the Bible declares, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And so we are dealing with saving the souls of men within the island of New Zealand. And the gospel is the answer. All we need is the word of God, and we've got the solution to life's problems. God's word. We just have to encourage souls to obey and to be saved. This is an advertising campaign that was done in New Zealand on both the North and the South Islands. On the side of buses, they were putting these posters. And the posters read that there's probably no God, so just relax and enjoy life. And this is a campaign that was done trying to discredit God, discredit the Bible within New Zealand. Another sign that was on the side of buildings was "Good without God, over 3 million Kiwis are." And you think that New Zealand has 4.5 million people. To say 3 million people are good without God gives you an idea of the religious breakdown of the country. The graph on the screen there shows that in 1990, there were 70% of New Zealanders who claimed to be believing in God. Coming down to today, 2017, that percentage is down to beyond 40%. And so you can see a rapid decline in religion in the island of New Zealand. It's been noted as being the most secular country in the world. And so we've certainly got our work cut out for us in New Zealand. This is the building. I know Brother Jimmy's been there. This is the building in New Plymouth. New Plymouth, New Zealand, where we meet with the New Plymouth congregation of the Lord's people. And the congregation is doing well in New Plymouth. We have had several problems in the congregation when we first got there, but we've noticed that things are starting to work out well. There was some division. There were little problems in the work, but brethren are really working well together now. And that's something encouraging when you're a local worker and when you're involved in the work of the church. As you know, if the brethren aren't united, it's hard to go ahead. But thankfully, we are heading in a good direction. That camper home or trailer home there, Michelle and I purchased that 1976 Vagabond Caravan. And we purchased this so that we can travel around the island of New Zealand and assist other congregations. And so we do that. We travel down to Wellington. And in Wellington, as Jimmy said, I am one of the instructors for the Bear Valley School of Preaching. So traveling down there, I've done that twice this year, and traveling down there to also hold evangelism workshops, traveling across to Palmerston North, helping Kent O'Donnell and others there with evangelism efforts. Across to Napier, we travel there frequently to assist with teaching and preaching, and also to hold evangelism workshops. Up to Hamilton to also teach, preach, and hold workshops. And in 2018, we're going up to Auckland to do the evangelism workshops there as well. So you'll see where we're traveling around a bit and being involved in more works than just New Plymouth. If you haven't been to New Zealand, you'll notice the picture there. The roads are very coastal. They're also windy and they're very hilly. New Zealand's one of the few places where you can go both ways uphill. Uphill both ways. And you know what that means. It's tough going at times, but it's a beautiful place to drive around. Being involved in evangelism in the local work in New Plymouth, we door knock every week. My sons, myself, some ladies, and one man who's recently been restored, we go out every week and we knock doors and we distribute materials. But we've noticed an emerging problem in New Plymouth, and that is the local newspaper have provided every household with these stickers. And on the stickers, you will read, I can't quite read that from here, but no advertising material, no junk mail, no circulars, no flyers, no sales materials to that degree. And so we were seeing more of these, and one day my son Caleb, who's not with us tonight, he said, "Dad, why don't we put on one of the flyers, this is addressed to you." That's right, address mail only. So I went away and I thought about that and I talked about it and came up with a solution. The solution, what we now have on the flyers, is this is addressed to you. Not a circular, not junk mail, not advertising, not selling anything. It is, however, a loving appeal for your eternal soul and your eternal destination. Since I've done this, we have had none of those nasty phone calls. I used to be in the office and I'd get a phone call and it would go like this. "Hey, mate, stop putting that rubbish in my letterbox." And I said, "Okay, where do you live?" "Not telling you." Now, you know what the problem with that is. You're going to get another one. You need to tell me where you live. But since we've done this, we've had none of those calls. So this is something, trying to find ways to reach out. You'll also notice on the brochure there that there are questions like, where will your soul spend eternity? And is there more to this life? Being a secular country, we very rarely begin with Bible authority or the one church, because many New Zealanders don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in God at all. And so you've got to go back to evidences when studying with them. We're trying to snatch souls out of the fire. And since we've been in New Zealand for the 3 years, we've actually saved 10 souls. And given the mission field that we're in, we are so grateful to God for those souls that have been saved. We've noticed that we're always looking for that one. And if you can just get that one, you've just got to get another one and keep going at it. No matter where you are, here in Alabama or in New Zealand, we've just got to keep looking for those souls, because there are receptive souls out there. Some of you may know Russell and Judy Blackwell. Well, Russell and Judy are from the Cox Boulevard congregation. Well, they came over to New Plymouth in 2015 and conducted a Back to the Bible workshop for us. Since they've done that, I have continued on with teaching these workshops throughout the congregations in New Zealand. And this is going very well. This is our congregation, our auditorium, set up for our Back to the Bible workshop. Also notice there that all of the materials we use are donated by Cox Boulevard. We don't have the bookshops that you have here. If we need materials, we either have to print them or get them sent from the States. So we're thankful that they're helping us out with that effort. This is another outreach that we were doing. It's in a town by the name of Stratford, which is about 40 minutes drive from where we live. And what we're doing is we're trying to reach out to other towns and establish new congregations within New Zealand. And so Stratford is a place we went there and we door knocked and we held a gospel meeting. And as a result of that, we had about 5 visitors to the gospel meeting, but we had 2 souls obey the gospel. So this is a real blessing indeed. The only problem was, there were a couple of problems. One, when we first knocked on the door of Lindley and Logan, they were not married. And so after studying with them for a while, they got married. And then they obeyed the gospel. And then they moved to Australia. And so we didn't get to establish the work in Stratford, but we did save 2 more souls. And God is good to us. This is the graduates of the Fishers of Men class. We had Barry Hatcher, some of you may know him. He traveled over to teach Fishers of Men for us. And now he's done that, and I'm one of the graduates too. I'm able to be an instructor for Fishers of Men if brethren would like to do that course. These are the instructors of the Bear Valley Preaching School. And you may notice some of the faces there. Kent O'Donnell, Todd O'Donnell, Lance Mosier and John Jones are both American men. And of course, Rod Kyle and some other ones, including one Aussie. And of course, that's me. So I'm really, really thankful to be a part of that teaching group. Lance Mosier and John Jones arranged for Bear Valley to begin the school in New Zealand. And the local preachers now are doing the instructing. So that's a real blessing for the country. These are 3 of my students in one of my classes. You'll notice one of them is a girl. And girls can do the training. Of course, they will never preach to a mixed assembly, but there are many things that ladies can do in the congregation and in the home and in the work of the Lord generally. And so this is good for ladies to do as well. Still doing the radio in New Zealand as well as Australia, sending the materials over to the radio station in Australia. This is an ongoing work. Let the Bible speak. And it's been going for about 15 years now. On Saturdays, what Michelle and I do, we like to use efforts that we do for evangelism. So on a Saturday, we go out to what we would call a market day or a fete or whatever you might call them, and we hire 2 booths. Michelle promotes essential oils, and in the other booth, I promote Bible studies. And from this, we've got 3 contacts so far, and 2 of those contacts are attending everything to do with the assemblies and even the study in our home on a Thursday evening. Every Thursday in our living room, we have a Bible study, inviting the members of the church, also non-Christians along, to study the Bible with us. So just trying to use whatever we do as a way to evangelize. We've also noticed a lot of dysfunction when it comes to marriage. Couples experiencing marriage difficulties even within the church. And we know that the church, we would think, surely brethren don't have difficulties with their marriage, but many suffer with problems in marriage. And if you're married, you'll know that marriage takes effort. And sometimes people need help. Well, we've been able to help several with marriage Bible studies. And we've had one husband and wife who were living apart, who are now back together, and he's been restored through studying with them. So that's a real blessing. Also, restoring souls is a big work that we're involved in New Zealand, trying to help those who have obeyed the gospel at some point and then been offended or got upset about something and turned away, trying to encourage them to renew their love for the truth, their love for the Lord. And we had one man restored after being away for 13 years, and he's grateful for that. And perhaps you can imagine that. You know, I often think, how did I ever survive before I was a Christian? How did I get by without God? I'd say after being away for 13 years that he's very grateful to be back and have that relationship again with the Lord. We have children's groups as well, trying to encourage the children to have memories of growing up in the church. This is something we have for the older and the younger children. And that the screen there showing a pirate dress-up night where we sought to find the real treasure. And that was a great night. This is something we do with the children before services on a Sunday evening. We have these Bible quiz cards, and we drill the children with these. I get up the front of the assembly for about 10, 15 minutes and take the children through these cards. But the beauty of it is they benefit the adults as well. We're all being reminded of the chapters of the book of Acts or the plan of salvation or whatever it is that we're going through. We've had many visitors coming to New Plymouth to share in the work that we're doing there. And we want to encourage you, brethren, to come over and spend some time. If you have any who are interested in doing some mission work abroad or coming down and being part of a work for whatever period of time, realize that we have brethren there who are longing to see you and would love to have you come down. We have camps from January to March in New Zealand. So January is a time we have three combined camps where different congregations put on these get-together camps. And also we have in March our lectureship camp in New Plymouth. So a good time to come, January to March, or just come whenever you can. We'd love to see you. So we're helping out in many, many different ways. The list here on the board, it outlines different categories or different works that we are involved in. But we want you to know that although it's not always possible to list everything we're doing there, New Zealand is an exciting and very happening work. There are so many things happening all the time. And back about 2014, 2015, we had so many brethren coming over from the States that it felt like every quarter or every 3 to 4 weeks that we had new people there doing gospel meetings, doing outreaches and evangelism, a very busy time. And so we want you to get excited and come down and do that as well. If you're coming to New Zealand, you need to be aware of a couple of things. One of them is some of the pricing that we have in New Zealand. For example, gasoline, $7.40 a gallon. I love filling up my vehicle here. It's a real treat to pay so little per gallon. Milk, $7 a gallon. lamb chops. And remember that New Zealand rides on the sheep's back. We have lamb everywhere. You trip over the things. And lamb is so expensive on the island. I guess it's a little bit like Hawaii, where everything you buy has to be shipped in, and so it elevates the prices. We have butter. Now, butter is about $6.50 for a pound. Bacon is just under, I can't quite read that one, but eggs, I know this one is $7.50 a dozen for the eggs. But don't worry about that, because we've got chickens. Okay, we are growing our own chickens at home. Last season we had 40 chicks running around our backyard, and we grew those up. We ate the roosters. Sorry if you're a bit squeamish about that, but we ate the roosters, and then because we were coming to the US, we sold off the layers, and that helped us get a bit of money to come over here. So that was really something we didn't expect, to be able to sell them so easily. But my daughter was telling me, she's staying in our home, that we've got some broody chickens at the moment, so we could have some more on their way. Just a few highlights of our family. When we moved to New Zealand, our daughter Brittany was a single lady. Well, now she's married. She got married to a Kiwi, a New Zealander. And so what a blessing to have our daughter and her husband living nearby to where we are in New Zealand. She married Kane Piper. Kane's a faithful young man who helps in the assemblies. He also works in IT for the local hospital. Brittany, she helps with the teaching of the children's classes, but she's also quite a brilliant artist. And that book there on the screen, Princess Polly's Rumbly Tum, I think it's called, that's a book that a local author, top-selling children's author, saw our daughter's artwork and asked her to illustrate that for her, which she did, and she did a great job. We homeschool our kids, our children, and so this is a play that our children were involved in this year. Michelle wanted our children to be in a play, so she got together with some of the other homeschoolers, and they worked up this production. Caleb, Jonathan, and Summer were all involved in this effort, singing, playing instruments, and acting, and had a great time. This is our daughter Chantel with her husband Patrick and their son Ezekiel. They live in Alaska. Talk about having your grandkids a long way away. Well, they're in Alaska. They moved from Singapore after being in Singapore for 5 years. They're now serving in Anchorage, Alaska. And just recently, about 2 weeks ago, our daughter gave birth to our second grandchild, Ezra. And so we're blessed this trip, brethren. At the end of October, we're going to Alaska for 6 days, and we get to be with our grandkids. So that's a real treat for us. Having them so far away is difficult, but we're really looking forward to that. The work in New Plymouth is an ongoing work, and we've had a little bit of news this trip, and that is that our overseeing congregation, Elkmont, are most likely not going to continue as our overseeing congregation. One of the elders in Elkmont has developed Parkinson's disease, and they're going to be folding the eldership there. They'll still be supporting us, but they've asked us if we will look elsewhere to find an overseeing congregation. So we're working on that at the moment, and ask your prayers about that. But we'll let you know as things progress there. But of course, just continue to do things as normal until we let you know. I hope you've enjoyed that presentation of the brief presentation of the New Zealand work. And I hope there are some things there that you find exciting and also interesting enough to want to come over and be part of that. What is most important to you? What is it in life that is most valuable? You know, I used to think that I worshipped my business. I began a business back in 1990, and this business was going through to about 1997, working in the vineyards and orchards of Mildura, Victoria, Australia. And that's where Michelle and I received the greatest gift we could ever receive. Michelle and I were visited by a traveling preacher. The greatest thing ever was that we obeyed the gospel in 1996. That was the greatest shift in our life and something we've never looked back from. I say this by way of hopefully creating questions in our mind. What do we place value on? At that point in time, my value system was very much one of worldly gain, worldly attainments. I didn't worship God. I didn't follow God. And so I didn't think about the things eternal. But we were to face a great challenge in the work that I was doing in Mildura, Victoria. Immediately I faced a conflict where my clients, who were mostly table grape and fresh group growers, they embraced the wine grape growing industry. And being a Christian, I didn't want to be involved in an industry that was promoting wine and alcohol. And so Michelle and I got to talking about this and considering what was most important to us. We decided to just close the business down. And it was no small business. But when we did that, we moved to Adelaide, South Australia. I got a job in the General Motors factory for 2 years. And following that, we moved house again, and I went to preaching school. You know, we had people at that time saying, "Are you sure? Are you sure you want to sell your business or close your business down? Are you sure you want to now quit your job at General Motors and go over to preaching school? How are you going to survive? What are you going to do?" But by this time, it was too late. Our value system had changed. It was not worldly gain anymore. We realized that the greatest pursuit we can have in this life is getting to heaven. We need to get to heaven, brethren. We need to get there, visitors. We need to make sure that we're right with God. And so this became our pursuit to do things that would increase our lives spiritually. And we didn't put a money value on that. We really were trying to grow spiritually. And the Bible declares to us, the Lord Jesus, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Do we think about that scripture? And do we seek to apply that personally to our lives? Is there something in our life that's stopping us, holding us back from being more productive in the Lord's work? Holding us back from sacrificing to God and being His servants? Is there something that just limits us from being that shining light that God calls us to be as His people? I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to take courage and to take strength from the Lord who gives all strength, and to seek to be pleasing to Him, pleasing in His sight. There's nothing in this life more valuable than obeying the gospel. If you're not a Christian, what would you do if your life were to end this day? How would you be knowing that you could have obeyed the gospel, but you did not? Have you thought about that? You know, quite often we're held back by fear. We're held back by perhaps not knowing enough, but we can know more. And we can overcome fear when we realize what really matters in this life is getting to heaven. When we realize that our soul is the most valuable possession that we have, you can obey the gospel. The Bible teaches the need to hear, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. We need to believe. In Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We need to repent of our sin. In Acts 2 and verse 38, the Apostle Peter said, "Repent, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We need to also confess that Jesus is Lord. In Acts 8 and verse 37, the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And if you are at that point where you are willing to make that confession, willing to make that confession and then take that step to salvation, that's right. That confessing will not save you, but that is a step to salvation. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, "For as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have" what? "Have put on Christ." You get into Christ through baptism. That's where your sins are forgiven. That's where you're saved. So if you've come up to the edge of the water and you're wanting to take that step now to be saved, don't let fear hold you back. Don't let anything hold you back from taking hold of the most precious, the most important gift that we can ever have in this life, and that is salvation in Jesus Christ. Won't you take that step? If you need prayers for any reason, there will be people up the front of the building to welcome you if you want to come forward. If you need prayers or you'd like to obey the gospel, make it known as we stand and sing our song of invitation. God bless you.